How do you get a waiver from the individual mandate, for example, in your state without having an individual mandate?
The individual mandate, if you go talk to a bunch of conservative folks, they'll say, we hate it, it's violative of freedom. Where does it say in the Constitution that we got to go out and purchase health care? Mm-hmm. Go talk to a bunch of liberal folks, we hate it. Why should we be required to buy coverage from these monopolistic, greedy, rip-off, you know, insurance right. companies who gouge us like crazy and won't give us, you know, a good deal? So you start with that. I got the Senate counsel, the waiver provision, it's 1332, you know, in the final law. In the middle of it, I asked the Senate counsel, is it correct that if a state can meet the coverage targets of the legislation, right. a state would not have to have an individual mandate? Answer,
but
yes.
How do you know that ahead of time? Because you'd have to get the waiver ahead of time. I mean, I understand, and I've read some of what you have said about, you know, if the plans are attractive enough, everything, then you're going to get people to come. But don't you have to get the waiver ahead of time? So how do you know if you've met the goal?
Obviously, HHS works with the state so that they can ensure the program's integrity to do it. But here's the policy part that I find so striking. The people who believe in what they're doing, and under this, you've already seen the governor of Vermont says he'd like a waiver to do single-payer kind of coverage. And Massachusetts, with Senator Brown says they're interested in doing various things. My governor, John Kitzhaber, one of the most innovative people in the healthcare field, he wants, you know, a waiver. And so you're going to try a bunch of approaches. The department's going to work with them. And it seems to me people who can show the department that they can meet the targets are going to get waivers, A. And B, we've got a perfect example of how you can give people affordable, good quality care without an individual mandate, and that's the employer-based system. You know, people in the United States often think that the employer-based system comes with an individual mandate. It doesn't. Workers do not have to have coverage from their, you know, employer. Lots of them don't. But the reason they take the product is much like what I've advanced. They take it because they think it's good quality and affordable, and they're signing up for it. And for people who think their approach is going to work, and they can go the consumer-driven conservative model, they can go the single-payer Vermont model, they can say we like the Healthy Americans Act, FEHBP model, regional exchange model, and to ensure that a state just doesn't take the money and go off and do nothing, we put it in that, you know, it's federalism. The state gets a chance to go forward its approach. The Department of Health and Human Services, now run by Kathleen Sebelius, gets the last word, and she's going to have to come away confident that they're going to meet the targets, they aren't going to get the waiver.
So it's your understanding that it will be her determination if she believes that the plan that the state is putting forward, the proposal that the state is putting forward, will result.
That's the law. It's not my understanding. That's the law. She gets the last word, not me.
Because there's really no even if CBO says something's going to happen, it doesn't always mean that
you think
is what that is what comes to pass.
Right.
So, what happens if she grants a waiver for a proposal that where there is no individual mandate, and for whatever reason, and it doesn't by the end of that year or the next year, it's not.
She has
doing
the authority to pull
expects.
It, doesn't she? Part of this, A, you're absolutely right. I mean, when you're doing waivers and innovative work, you can say for certain that things always end up a little different than anticipated. But we tried to strike a balance between federal authority and state authority. They're going to obviously talk to the department all through the consideration of a state's work and the state legislature and the governor. Then you give the secretary the authority to have the last word. You've got the review, you know, provisions. So these are federal funds. If you're not meeting you know, in effect, your contractual obligations, they can, you know, pull it at any point. And I think it's a pretty good balance, recognizing, not unlike your question, this is a bit of an inexact science.
Some Republicans may look at what happened to Bob Bennett, got beat in his primary. Some think part of it was the fact that he co-sponsored your Healthy Americans Act. Are you worried that Republicans may look at what happened to him and think, this is not where I want to go, that this will look bad for me if I try to work with Ron Wyden or work with Democrats, compromise on the health law?
Three points. First, read Bob Bennett's speech on the floor yesterday, his farewell address. He said he lost because of TARP. Number two, if you look at what happened in Utah, Bob Bennett faced a closed convention with a few hundred, you know, people who kept him from being on the ballot. Based on everything I've seen, had Bob Bennett gotten a chance to talk to the larger electorate as a Republican nominee, he would have won by a bigger margin than I did, and I won 57-39.
Could I ask you just quickly about the individual mandate?
Yeah.
Do you see Democrats in the Senate in particular and also in the House trying to maybe reposition themselves on that issue because of the court challenges? Like you said yourself, conservatives don't like it, liberals don't like it. Is this a sensitive issue for Democrats? And will they, in fact, you know, I think there's 23 folks, Democrats up for re-election in the Senate, be looking for another place to be on the mandate?
Yeah.
And can they
frankly,
get there?
We keep hearing Republicans and conservatives saying that, oh, the Democrats are rethinking, they're going to have to rethink.
Right.
But is that true?
I do think that when you talk to people about whether or not there should be personal responsibility in health, I think people say, hey, yeah, you know, you ought to, you know, be personally, you know, responsible. And much of this issue comes about, not unlike the example I gave with the employer-based, you know, system, if people are required to do something and they end up spending a lot of money for something they don't much like, you bet they're going to be furious. This has been a flashpoint in the healthcare debate from day one. Everyone understood the tension between people being required to do something when the country thinks the federal government isn't doing that well today, requiring us to do, you know, more stuff, and the question particularly of how you come up with affordable coverage. And that's why I wanted to try to have something that might get some traction in both camps.
Is the health law in jeopardy? I mean, could we be at a very different place a year from now, very different place if the Democrats are not in power in 2012? I mean, I just wonder if this is sort of, we'll look back at this and think this was, especially beginning of 2011, this was really when things began to go badly for the health law.
Well, first of all, if you're not for the president's proposal, people say, what are you for? The country clearly does not want to go back to the days when you can hammer somebody for a pre-existing condition and you have a culture that essentially says the health insurance system works if you're healthy and wealthy. You all know piecemeal, you know, reform can be as complicated and as expensive and bureaucratic as piecemeal reform. And I think that folks who are against the president's plan will also have to figure out how to climb the hill to show that they've got something to offer.
What do you think of AHIP these days? It's come out that they gave the chamber something like $82 million to help them defeat health care reform. But yet AHIP has wanted many things in the law that will help them, going to give them new customers, the subsidies, the Medicaid expansion, the insurance exchanges. How is that playing up here?
If premiums go up again, their role will be front and center. You can almost follow the script. They will say the reason the premiums are going up is because of the law. Then, you know, certainly they'll get, you know, huge pushback. People will bring out their profits and the like. And one of the things I've been looking at, not ready, you know, to do is, you know, there are considerable taxes on insurers over the next, you know, few years. One of the things I've been interested in looking at next year is whether, if they hold their premiums down, they should pay less tax. And if they don't hold their premiums down, they should pay more tax. And I'm not proposing that today, not introducing a bill on that, but I'm going to look at it next year.